Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of Hot Air. My name's Greg Esser. This week I have the distinct pleasure of being aside, much hyped, the guy that I've wanted to get in front of a couple times. I've mentioned it before, Jarnell Bajwa, offensive line handler, kind of playing that apex role, that center handler a lot of the season. Jarnell, if I'm giving you just one word so people recognize your voice, one word to start it off with, what word would you choose?
Breeze.
It's a strong choice. It's the team we're talking about today here on Hot Air. I'd just like to thank Broke Royals for playing that entry music for us. I want to thank some of our sponsors right off the top: Papa John's, Oak Creek Apparel, Waveborn, the community sponsor, of course, putting on some clinics prior to our Breeze games here at home in D.C., Atlas Brewery, and Big Board. Those are the sponsors. I've gotten rid of pretty much all of the administrative stuff, Jarnell. So now I'm ready to dig in to some real content here today, but I will lay down some ground rules for you. First of all, be candid, have fun. It's a good time. It's a podcast. Second one, wind puns play heavily. You know, I don't know if we've really gotten, like, the perfect witty guest on here. Really, I'm going through the entire roster till I find that one really witty player. Let's see if you can pull it off today. Wind puns play heavily. Gusto to drift. It's all good to me. So with that said, I'll lay out our brief agenda, and then we can start breaking that agenda. First, I want to talk about you a little bit. Then I want to talk about these recent pair of games you played, one in D.C., a doubleheader weekend, but one in D.C. and one up in New York, two New York City games against the Empire. And then lastly, we'll talk about the road trip coming up this weekend. You're headed to Canada. You've got a doubleheader, as meaningful as they get, with playoffs on the line here. Lots of exciting things. Anything else you want to kick us off with?
Well, I guess the first thing I'll say is I'm not the wittiest of guys.
Okay.
So the puns might not be coming. We'll see if I can get better.
Okay. We'll see what we get. If we get one, you're managing expectations really well. So if we get just one, people are going to jump out of their seats. They're going to tweet me at the Greg Esser. They're going to tweet at the DC Breeze. I don't know. Are you on Twitter, Jarnell?
I am, but I don't know my handle.
He doesn't even know his own handle. Okay. Anyhow, you can tweet at those, and I'll find out Jarnell's handle, and I'll forward the message to him in case he pulls off something so witty it's functioning on so many levels we don't even realize it until next week. Okay, so with that said, those ground rules aside, let's talk about you, and let's talk about, you know, how long you've been playing Ultimate and where you've been playing at.
Okay, so I've been playing for about 11 years.
Okay.
I started at George Mason University.
Got it.
And
so you did not play in high school. You found the collegiate program at George Mason.
Correct.
And when you showed up on the scene there, what did Ultimate look like for George Mason?
It was pick up on the quad.
Okay. And I think that's an experience that many, I mean, I started playing in college too. Many of us, I think, can identify with.
Okay, yeah. I was actually invited out to play by my now current coach, Sarah Ito.
How about that?
Yeah, we were friends through pickup soccer. And she told me to come out and just went with it.
Wow. Okay, so you showed up to George Mason, you started playing on the quad, and then, you know, then where has it taken you? Who have you played for more recently? You know, I know you're very big in the club scene in D.C., you're a mixed player for USAU. Right. You know, what teams have you played with over the years, and where have you come to?
So the first couple years, or first few years of playing club, I played on HOV Violators.
And okay, he's sporting the jersey today.
And
showing it off proud. He's flexing now.
And then another open team wiretap.
Okay.
And then moved on to play with AG, Ambiguously Gray.
Sure.
It's a team that me and a few friends founded.
And that's a team that's... was that your first Nationals experience then with AG?
Correct.
Okay. And you've been... One and only. One and only. Okay. So that's a litany of storied history of DC Club Ultimate. And risen to the top and getting to attend Nationals.
Right.
And last year, of course, you played the Breeze, and you're back again this year, probably playing an even bigger role, I think, this year than last year.
Definitely a bigger role this year.
You might be... I looked this stuff up. I think you're number one in completions for sure, but also number one or number two in points played.
That might be so. That I'm not sure.
Sounds reasonable. You weren't counting.
Right.
Okay, so that's one thing that I've heard from a couple guys around the Breeze, and I talked to Berg or I think it was Andrew Berg a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Saying that you by virtue of playing both college and club in D.C., you're a guy that a lot of these younger guys on the Breeze are really excited to come out and play with. You know, you started this team at George Mason. You know, you want to talk about kind of what that means of your role on the Breeze. Do you think it puts extra pressure on you? Are you leading this clubhouse with these young guys that are coming out to play with the famous Jarnell that started George Mason Altman?
So for one, I think it's very cool that I'm playing with guys who are 6 to 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
That are going through the same program that I helped start. And I completely forgot where I was going with this.
Yeah. So that's cool that I think you're getting to play kind of the generational gap. And I think it's a testament to competitive sport, but certainly Altman as well, that like there are disc skills that keep guys on the field. You know, it's not a short 2-3 year peak. It's, you know, 10 years of quality play to keep keep yourself in shape and keep those disc skills intact. You know, you're a really useful piece of a team when you know with a young 6'2" guy coming out of George Mason that can reel in those highlight catches that you set him up for.
Right.
So that's a lot of fun.
You're talking about Anthony in that.
Maybe that's talking about Anthony. So tell me, you know, also, then you're playing with George Mason guys. Are there any guys that play for, you know, American or George Washington that historically maybe are seen as rivals that now it's cool to come together and unite the powers across D.C.?
Yeah, so the teams I played a lot against in college were Georgetown and American. Nobody on the current team I played against in college.
Okay.
Most of them are younger guys.
Okay.
The only guy that's closer to my age is Duke, and he went to Columbia.
He went to Columbia.
Right.
Okay. So that's cool that you're playing that role and that these guys are coming out and they're excited by you and you're excited to, you know, get out there on the field with them.
Yeah. So I guess I'll add to what you were saying. It's very cool to get to teach these younger guys.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm one of the veteran experienced players.
So what are you teaching them? Do you think it's like softer skills? Do you think it's like hard, you know, ultimate skills? What role are you playing in this clubhouse? Is it lead by example? Go ahead.
It's more of how to think about the game and where to find the spaces on the field.
Okay.
So less, you know, a little more angle on the disc when you're throwing an IO. Like, I don't really think about that or talk about those things. Any player will figure that out on their own.
Uh-huh.
So it's more about just how to think about things when you're doing things on the field.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. Let's talk a little bit about some of these recent games that have happened.
Sure.
So it was a rough weekend for the Breeze 2 weekends ago. We played a home game in D.C. that got rained out halfway through with the game on the line.
Right.
Frustrating to me as a fan. I'm sure frustrating to you as a player.
Frustrating.
And then you traveled up the next day to New York to run it back again.
Right.
And they resulted, spoiler alert, if you're going to go watch video online, but it already happened, so you can look at the standings. Two losses. Talk to me a little bit about the mental state coming out of the first game, you know, the heartbreak involved. Talk to me a little bit about what it's like to play, you know, a very good team in the New York Empire.
Yeah, so going to the first game in D.C., the mentality through most of the team, if not all the team, was we really want to get this game.
Yeah.
Because that puts us right back into the playoff race. I think it would have tied us with Ottawa for fourth or fifth.
Uh-huh.
And given us a really good chance at that third place spot. And made it harder for New York to clinch theirs.
Yeah.
Which, with our storied rivalry with New York, where the games have been really back and forth in the last couple seasons.
Yeah.
It would have been just really nice to put them down a little bit.
Yeah. So then, talk to me a little bit after, you know, you're playing a tight game. It's going to half. I think, 8-6 in their favor, maybe going to half. But then you score the first one out of half.
Right.
So you're down by one. And what goes through your head when you see referees running on the field with whistles?
I can't say what went through my mind because this is probably listened to by children.
A long string of profanity.
Right.
Okay.
And yeah, it was heartbreaking. We really needed this game. We wanted this game. And it's been cut short because of weather. So frustrating.
So then the next day, they made the Breeze look a little silly when they, you know, took the day, what, 25-13? So they showed up to New York with some energy. Mm-hmm. You know, do you think it was partially that heartbreak that was on everyone's mind when you're going to New York? You know, what do you chalk that big loss up to?
So the game in New York, it started out the same way it did in D.C.
Yeah.
It was very close in score. Halftime, I think, was 10-10, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so in the second half, as they picked up their intensity defensively, our cutters downfield and this, I guess, synchronization between the cutters and handlers.
Communication.
It became a lot tougher as they amped up their energy.
Uh-huh.
And one thing throughout the season that's helped us a lot has been the reliability of Kerrigan.
Yeah.
As a cutter downfield. He's just a very smart cutter. He's always there, always getting open. He wasn't there that weekend for us. So I think that really hurt us.
Yeah, to have that kind of prime bailout when things get tough.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a tough weekend, and, you know, what it does for the Breeze's playoff shots is it makes it really tough. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're at a point in the season where I don't think you can afford to drop another one.
Correct.
And you are on the back of a long Canadian drive, right? You're going up to, this weekend, 4th of July, you're headed up to Montreal, you're headed up to Ottawa. One team you've beaten this year, one team you have not beaten this year.
Right.
And, you know, that's going to be really exciting, but those are two tough games, and at this point, they're must wins. Otherwise, you know, see you next year.
Absolutely.
So so what's going through your head, you know, now that you know your back's against the wall?
We're definitely ready for the challenge.
Cool. That's good to hear.
We had a really good practice last night in the rain, mm-hmm. and things looked good. People have the right mentality. Everyone's positive. So I'm pretty excited about the weekend.
Nice. So tell me this. You know, I think, at least in my playing experience to some degree, you know, if I'm going into an ultimate game, I do the same set of things. I might look up, you know, or know a couple of the players on the opposite team. I'm using some video a little bit to maybe research who I'm watching out for. I'm a defender primarily, mm-hmm. unlike yourself. But my preparation is largely similar regardless of the team I am playing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's changing a little bit. Does that change for you when you walk into a stadium in Ottawa versus walking into a stadium in Montreal? Or is your game preparation the same?
So my on-field preparation is generally always the same.
Okay.
I am stretching myself out. I'm getting to be an older guy now. I need that extra
you,
time.
You and me both.
I need that extra time to get my muscles loose. And other than that, it's just feeling how things are.
Yeah.
And just if I feel like I'm a little tighter, I'm going to roll a little bit longer. If it's a little windier, I'm going to throw a little bit longer, try to take some shots, see how they feel. Just get ready for...
So how about the pre-game day preparation? Is it different to walk into Montreal versus different to walk into Ottawa?
Yeah, I would probably think so. So last year we played in Montreal in a game where it was on ESPN3, and their fan base was pretty large that game.
Yeah.
So it was, I think they had close to 1,500 fans in the stands.
Exciting.
Which I've never seen that before. And the way they cheer for the game, no matter what's happening on the field, they're supportive of plays on both sides of the disc.
Huh.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Ottawa is going to replicate that. Also because of the fact that Montreal has a beautiful stadium.
Uh-huh.
They play at, it's a CFL stadium, I don't know.
Okay.
The name.
It's right downtown. I don't know what the name is either.
Right.
So they get good attendance. So what does that make you do differently? You're playing in front of 1,500 people up in Canada. What do you say to yourself differently, knowing that's going to be the
so
situation?
So to me, that doesn't mean anything. To be honest.
Red herring.
As a player, as a handler, my job is to be calm, patient, and just do my job.
Okay.
You know, move the disc, find the open guy.
Okay.
And of course, I'm going to get a little bit more excited when things happen.
Yeah.
There's an energy that comes from the stands.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll flow through my body. Maybe I'll run a little harder.
Yeah.
But in terms of preparing for the game, to me, it's all the same.
Okay. So it's interesting. So you're looking at both these games, I assume, equally, because I think they're both must-wins. Mm-hmm. But is there a team, are you looking more forward to getting a rematch against the team you beat in D.C., Ottawa? Or are you more excited to get a chance at revenge against Montreal?
I would say both. So when we played Ottawa, it was their first game as a franchise.
Yep.
And it was off a long road trip. They were short a few players, hadn't gelled yet. So to me, it didn't feel like... So the win, it was a win for us, which is still nice.
Characterize the Ottawa team. What would you say their playing style is, or at least their defensive style that came against you?
Defensively, they tried to play hard man the entire time.
Okay.
Didn't really poach a lot, which probably goes to show their inexperience in the ADL game on that field.
Hmm.
I honestly haven't seen much game tape recently,
okay.
So I'm not sure how they've evolved defensively.
Okay.
But I have heard that offensively, one of their better players, Derek Alexander.
That's right.
Who plays for Toronto's GOAT.
They call him the Jarnell of the North.
He's a very solid player.
Yeah, he's a very good player. He's a GOAT guy.
Yeah. So it seems that he's completely taking charge of
it. I think the other week he threw the perfect game too. I think he had 50 plus completed passes without a turnover.
Wow.
Which I'm gonna start calling that the ultimate perfect game.
Sounds about right. I don't think I'll ever do that.
you just need to tell your receivers to catch stuff, right? So if you characterize Ottawa, at least from playing against them, as a hard man team. It's not poaching into your space a lot, but maybe a high level of athleticism.
Right.
How would you characterize the Montreal team?
Montreal is very different. They poach a lot more.
Okay.
They're trying to get into all the lanes, make you go the direction you don't want to go.
Interesting. So two very different looks. So it'll be interesting to have to play those back-to-back and adjust on the fly.
Right. Which I think we're actually mentally prepared for that. Dutchie's done a really good job of getting us to think whether we're on the field or off the field.
Okay.
No, I really like that.
Which game do you think is going to be tougher?
I think the Montreal game will be tougher.
Okay.
It's the
second. Is that game number two.
And there isn't much time between the two games.
Uh-huh.
The second game, Montreal, is at noon on Sunday. So less than 24 hours.
Hop in that ice bath, and then right back on the bus.
Right.
And then playing game two. Are you an ice bath guy?
I'm not.
Not an ice bath guy. What's your post-game routine like? Just more stretching, rolling
foam
it out?
Foam roller. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
Hydrate.
And foam roller.
Right.
Well, great. Is there anything else you want to discuss here on the podcast today? I think we've covered the entire agenda, so you could take us for a left turn right now. Come out to a future home game. Cheer on the Breeze. We got two left.
Yeah.
The game this past weekend against Philly was rained out.
Right.
And that has a rescheduled date for that has not been announced.
Correct.
But we will play Rochester at home once. It will be on July 11th. That is a Saturday. It goes down at 6:30. We do the pregame clinic for all the youth. We do a pregame concert. I don't know what band will be joining us for that last game. I don't know if it's actually. I don't know if it's even been set yet. Actually, at this point. But anyway, there are two more home games. There are Gallaudet University, Hotchkiss Field, and yeah, we'd love to see you out there. I think if you guys put up a good show this weekend, those last two games are very meaningful as well.
Yeah, we could definitely use the support.
So that said, I'd like to thank you again, Jarnell, for chatting with me today. And feel free to tweet us up at the DC Breeze or at the Greg Esser. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.